And welcome back to Conclave Radio, episode 9 of season 3. It's been a long time. I know you miss our beautiful radio faces.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Hanukkah and all those.
Hanukkah Tov.
Sure.
We do have the rabbi in here with us. As Pastor called him.
When was our last? It was like a month ago or something, wasn't it?
It was like a whole year ago.
It was pre-Christmas. Yeah. It was last year.
It was last decade.
It was last decade.
A new decade of Conclave and its beautiful podcast, hosted by yours truly, Casey Hall. That's me. And I am joined by... I can't talk. This is a fantastic episode.
He's joined by Greg, who is actually better at transitioning to the next person.
John.
Wow.
John.
You gotta give us more than that.
What else is there about me?
John who?
Oh, go ahead.
John
Wick. Podcaster extraordinaire.
Intern Nate. I'm intern on here, though.
I don't have a nickname yet.
Hello, I'm Clint. Glad to be here.
Woo!
Yay!
Hey!
Hey!
Hey, we're back better than ever.
We're all here.
Always.
Second semester.
Here. Every episode's a little bitty bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you
mean, man? We actually have acoustic panels on the wall this episode.
The room is looking good, Casey. You've done a great job.
It's slowly turning into a studio. And if you haven't been listening for the past 3 years, here's a little insider for you. This studio has been in construction.
The works
for 3 years.
Yeah. Since episode 2.
I finally put panels on the wall that would stick, and I put pictures up that will not fall down. So it looks like it's an actual room that can be
knock
used.
On wood.
Yeah.
Knock on wood. But our couches are orange. And that really
But the listeners help. They don't know. The listeners that only know
That's
because
right.
we tell them.
You don't know. I could have lied to you.
You could
Our couches are probably blue.
Yeah, that's true.
Or we don't have couches. Welcome to Conclave Radio. How was everyone's holiday?
Yeah. It was great. I had a great Christmas and New Year's.
What was the best thing you got in your eyes?
Well, I mean, it really wasn't what I got. It was just
good.
It was just great.
Mm.
It was just great. Yeah.
This was a busy holiday for me personally. I mean, Christmas was fantastic.
I mean, I got some great gifts. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, my daughter Addie gave me a spectacular Alabama cup from the school store.
Always nice. Yep.
Pretty awesome.
I think the favorite gift I saw was someone in Conclave got socks with their face on them.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
But yeah, my holiday was pretty good. This is last Christmas 2018, I was in Disney World. So.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a slight difference.
In comparison.
There. In comparison. Yeah. It was a good Christmas. I love my family, and I saw all of them, and I had a great time. And we shared great family bonding time. And celebrated the Lord's birthday. But, you know, there's something special about Disney World.
You know my two favorite Christmas presents this year?
What was that?
One, I got a box full of nothing. It was a prank gift. Which
I love
was
those.
So amazing.
I think I love those more than worst gifts.
Like, it was a triple wrapped box. And by the time I opened it, it was a box full of packing material, and that was it.
Oh,
and I was cackling.
And who was this from?
From my... brother-in-law.
Okay.
That's what you put
I think I like those gifts more than the gifts that you don't really like, you know?
Yeah. Cuz I was genuinely losing it laughing, and they were like, "Oh, we thought you'd be mad. Like, we were trying to kind of instigate something." And I was like, "No, this is amazing."
This is very hard to make you mad.
It's not that hard.
Well,
I just tied it well.
I was about to say, I've never actually seen you in an angered state. So, I'll just consider myself lucky I'll consider myself appreciated.
And then Leslie found a thrift store gift for me, which was amazing. New Testament Greek interpretation
Ooh.
Lexicon. And so it was how to interpret the Koine Greek, and it was a $2 thrift store find. Amazing.
Have you seen those prank gift boxes? It's we've got one at the house we haven't used yet. It's a coffee machine for your shower. And you put something random in it.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I didn't think those really existed, though. I thought that was like a comedy thing.
Yeah, like you put something else in the box, or I guess you don't have to put anything at all in the box. But yeah, people open it in like a coffee machine for my shower. And yeah, then they open it and it's like something like a shirt or something else. Yeah. But we've got a few of those at the house.
Now I kind of want a coffee machine for my shower.
I don't drink coffee, but I want one.
Like Keurig needs to make one of those. Yeah. Just like a little Instapot in your shower.
You know, I heard the guy that created the Keurig and the K-Cups says it was like the worst invention. Like he wishes he had not invented it. I'm sure his bank account disagrees, but he says because of like the environmental impact of all those K-Cups.
Yeah.
But because now, you know, everybody, there's a K-Cup for everything. It's harder to find... Like, because we're
real
we're,
coffee.
We're bean coffee bean people. Us Johnsons are now, right. And it's harder to find that than it is K cups. I mean, K cups are plenty.
Yeah, that's true.
I haven't used an actual like an actual coffee pot in probably 5+ years. Mm.
It's the real deal. It's a very all important at the Johnson home.
See, I'm all with you about the whole bean thing.
This is the one I'm married to. Especially.
Fresh ground beans taste different. They really do. But we found an adapter for our Keurig so that we could put fresh ground beans in the Keurig, and that was the money right there.
Does the Keurig grind the beans?
No, it's like a little. It's a refillable cup. So yeah. You actually wash out the.
No, that's not beans. That's what the ground.
Well, yeah, but fresh ground.
Oh, yeah, no, I think grounds is better than the K-Cup.
Yeah.
Beans is better than...
Beans is the way to go if you want the full taste and aroma. Yeah. You like grinding it like
full
right before
bitterness
you.
Of death?
Is Why it are you like, drinking coffee then? If you don't
I'm
like
not.
The taste of coffee...
I don't
then
drink don't. Coffee. That's
okay,
what I'm
well
saying.
Then, you know?
Okay.
I like my
you
coffee dark,
yourself,
like
fine.
17 layers of dark. Like God. Midnight looks at my coffee and goes, ooh.
You need to put that up on the wall in here. Kalua has a coffee shop now on our Main Street district, and shout out Adventurous Coffee.
I know the owner. I mean, he's amazing.
Me too. Yeah, yep. I go there so much they let me park in the back actually. you ever had those Starbucks like refrigerated drinks? So I had those. I thought those
I
were good.
I discovered those are good.
Yeah, I thought those were good. And then I had their coffee. I was like, this is like not as sweet or whatever. Well, I've been drinking those for theirs for a while. And then I went back to the Starbucks. I can't even drink them anymore because they're garbage.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, like, wow. Like once you have the real stuff.
Well, but
I mean,
Andrew at Adventurous Coffee, like his goal in opening it was he wanted to do something that A, he could do for the rest of his life. But B, he wanted to do high quality well-made, and it is amazing. Yeah. Like, we were talking profit margins, and I was like, dude, how do you stay in business? And he was like, I want to make a good product. And
it is. So if you're listening, Claire, I'm just kidding.
For real, shout out.
Yeah.
Hashtag Adventurous Coffee sponsor.
Yeah, I like fake coffee. I like the slight taste of coffee and, like, sweet drinks, you know?
Yeah, the person that I'm married to, when she started drinking coffee, it was like, this much of the cup was milk, this much was creamer, a little bit of sugar, and a little bit of coffee. Yeah.
Just enough coffee to give it like a caramel color.
Right. Yeah. But now it's just coffee and a little bit of creamer. So that's pretty good. She's kind of winged herself. But I mean, I drink it black. I mean, my theory is that's what puts hair on your chest, and that's what makes your babies be born naked. So if you want those two things, you have to drink your coffee black. I mean, I'm just telling you.
I'll beg to differ. I've gotten, for your information, I've gotten some chest hairs this year.
How many?
Like 8. Well, that's... And I only drank one cup of coffee.
Okay. Well, Robin Williams and I can both talk to gorillas. We have so much chest hair, and we both drink coffee.
Yeah, there you go.
Side note, have you ever watched the Robin Williams comedy routine where he talks about interacting with the gorilla?
No.
Mm-hmm. It's worth watching.
Just
you two.
I've seen his one on parenting.
Hashtag not family friendly, hashtag not church appropriate, but hashtag Robin Williams is a genius.
Hashtag I miss Robin Williams.
Hashtag Robin Williams is in heaven cracking the jokes with Jesus.
Hashtag only one Jew.
Hashtag I hope so.
Hashtag he was Anglican.
Hashtag I hope so. Oh, just kidding. Sort of. All right. So what's on the docket for today, Casey Hall?
Well, Well, kind of. We are starting a new series in Conclave. It's called PFR 2020 to start off the year 2020. And PFR stands for praying or prayer, faithfulness, and relationship.
That is true. We want to be a people and a ministry, but for the podcast, we want to be a people this year and going forward that kind of begins and ends in prayer. We need to be people that are faithful to the things we say, faithful to the things we do, faithful to the groups and organizations and churches in our life, to relationships in our life. We need to be faithful. And then we want to be all in on relationships. That's we want right. to go all in on relationships. And so that's kind of the three things for PFR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important to have all those. Like, what we talked about a lot, at least this past week, was prayer. So that's still on my mind a lot. How we need to pray, that kind of sets up for a good relationship with God, is if we're not praying, then, you know, I mean, what's the point if we're not praying? We don't have a relationship if we don't pray. We don't talk.
Don't talk to somebody, you can't have a relationship.
Exactly.
With them. Yeah.
So
don't claim you have
a
relationship
with more,
God if you don't have.
It's got to be more than just Sundays and Wednesdays, you know, listening to the pastor. Or the
being
leader.
Talked at.
Right. Yeah. Following along and saying what he said.
Amen.
Well, there's so many misnomers about prayer.
Yeah.
You know, it's we think, well, prayer is just me talking to God. Well, that's – I would like to say that's half of it. But it really, maybe it should be even less than half of it,
yeah.
You know. And
oh, yeah.
You know, it's communication with God. It's talking and listening. And it's not really about the words that we – how – the amount of words that we say. You know, and then we read the scripture in Matthew, I believe, where Jesus – and I mean, in fact, there's a whole set of scriptures where Jesus says, "This is not how to pray." You know, don't worry about trying to be fancy and impress people with your words. You know, instead, God who sees you in private, you know, then he says, "Well, actually, this is how you should pray. Our Father, mm-hmm. which art in heaven." Don't be like the hypocrites do, where they try to
right.
impress us all with their big words. And we've all been guilty of it. I know I have. You know.
You know, actually,
you don't have yep. to use thee and thou.
You don't. Thee, yeah, thou, and thy don't reach God's ears any better.
But like you said, it doesn't have to be a monologue.
Yeah.
Or it's not a yeah. monologue. Yeah, that's.
And I think in our tribe, especially. Verse. Oh, I'm doing Twitter Periscope.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yes, I'm doing Twitter.
I didn't know if that was live or just something for later.
No, I'm doing Twitter and Periscope. And so. I forgot what I was
saying. I'm not doing Twitter Periscope.
Are you just
I'm
holding
just,
your phone?
I'm just mocking him.
Oh, cool. Very cool. You look
it's
very,
the highest form of flattery,
you
Greg.
Techy. You look like you're doing something, and that's all technology is just looking like you're doing something. Anyway, back on Bunny Trail.
Yeah, it's okay. I've it went over my head, and I can't remember now what I was going to say. And
you're welcome.
Our tribe.
Oh, yeah. Our tribe is like, you know, we believe in praying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe in praying for our brother and sister. And I think that there is a temptation there that when I pray for Nate, that I need to impress him when I pray, when in reality I'm praying for Nate, but I'm talking to God,
right.
And God is not impressed with the words that I say because I am his filthy rags.
Right, right.
I know. In his sight without Christ.
Amen.
And so it's stupid. It is stupid to think that I could impress a holy God with my words
mm-hmm.
when I'm praying for my brother, you know,
or
that I'm trying to impress Nate. Like it matters if I impress Nate or not, or the President of the United States, for that matter, if I was praying for him,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't matter.
And it, you know, you're also not trying to like talk God into like healing that person, because like whether or not they get healed, you know, like
yeah, your words is not what healed them.
Yeah,
it's God.
Well, I heard a thing the other day. I don't remember where this was from. This may have been here, but I think this was Sunday morning. I think Pastor Jason Bryan said this. But he heard a thing where, you know, this guy's mom was sick, and he prayed for healing, and God could have healed her on the earth, or she could have God to be with
either way, she was going to be healed. Mm. Yep.
And so, you know, God answers prayer either way. It may not be the way that you want or you think will happen, but you know, everything will happen according to His will. I mean, He answers everything. Mm-hmm. It just depends on in what method.
I always remember yes, no, or not yet. That's always those are the three answers He gives.
God answers every prayer. Some answers are just no.
Yeah,
that's hard.
Or wait.
And that's when listening comes in.
That's even harder.
Have you ever talked to God, asked Him for something, and then you're listening, but you kind of tune in for the answers you want to hear? Yeah. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
I'm guilty of that. Like, you sit and listen, and you kind of wait for that yes to fly by, but you're ignoring all the no's or not yet's.
Or God is answering your prayer with, you need to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah. Or
and I will... And you just ignore everything before the and.
I remember once, I guess this is a little, this is just a testimony. I was just, because I remembered it. I remember at one point, I thought I wanted to go do this program instead of school, because all these things were kind of happening, and I misinterpreted it as God trying to tell me to do something. And then as soon as I was like, yeah, I should do this, I got all these, like, true confirmations from God saying, no, that's not what I said. Stick with school. And I was like, okay, let's backtrack. But yeah, that's just something I'm guilty of.
I've had to learn that lesson many times, is if I pray, God, will you do this? And then I see all these confirmations, to take those confirmations to somebody I trust and say, is this a confirmation of my prayer? Yep. Because I'm going to want to see pretty much anything as a confirmation of what I prayed, that I wanted direction to do X or Y, and that person's going to go, no, that's not a confirmation, but yes, that is. So do this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you think the subjective approach to confirmation is a mix of people wanting to... I forgot what I was going to say. More like confirmation bias. They want to hear what they want to hear, and they want their own agenda to be filled more than what God's agenda is supposed to be.
I think there is a level of confirmation bias. But I think more of it is I'm going to walk off a ledge whether God's told me to or not. And I think if I've prayed about it, then God's going to catch me when I walk off that ledge, even if I prayed about it and then I ignored Him saying, no, don't walk off the ledge. No, don't walk off the ledge. No, don't walk off the ledge. And then when I'm at the bottom, after I've walked off the ledge, and I go, why did you make me walk off the ledge if you weren't going to catch me? And then I hear the voice saying, hey, you know, I told you not to and you didn't listen.
What was that, Clint? What was that story about the man on the roof saying God would save me?
Yeah, so there's a flood coming
yes, please.
To the house. And, you know, he's on top of his house because the flood is just rising and rising and rising. And a boat comes by and says, hey, buddy, get in the boat. And he says, no, that's okay. God's going to save me. You know, some guys come all the way later on a jet boat. I mean, they go, buddy, get in the boat because you're about to die. No, God's going to save me. You're okay.
Waters keep rising.
The waters keeps rising more and more. A helicopter comes and is flying right over, dangerous. Right, hey, buddy, grab the ladder. We'll pull you. No, it's okay. God's going to save me. Well, the guy drowns and dies, and he's before the Lord, and the Lord's like, man, you know, what happened? He was like, what happened to you, God? You know, you said, you know, I believed you were going to save me. He said, I did try to save you. I sent you a paddle boat, a jet boat, and a helicopter.
That's one of my favorite stories.
Yeah.
But yeah, it proves that we need to listen. We have to have open ears, I guess.
I don't think
an open.
I take that as some people do not like the conclusions that God gives them, and they prefer to form their own.
A lot of it too, though, I think is patience, because sometimes you want an answer now, and so anything that could like possibly resemble any sort of sign, you're like, that's it, you know, go.
Yep.
You know.
Or you ignore everything that says wait.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're like, no, that couldn't be it. It needs to be now. Yeah.
Well, you know, when I was thinking about prayer, one of the things we talked about was, you know, in that, and again, I think we're guilty of it so much in our group, you know, it's about the, about praying and, you know, and the temptation to try to impress other people when we pray. You know, I thought about the story about the little boy. The dad asked the little boy at the dinner table, his four-year-old son, "Son, will you say the blessing for us?" And the son says, "Sure." And so the little boy closes his eyes, and, you know, about a minute later, he starts eating. And the dad says, "Son, what are you doing?" He's like, "Well, I'm eating." He said, "Well, I told you to say the blessing." And the son said, "I did say the blessing." He said, "Well, I didn't hear you." And the little boy said, "I wasn't talking to you." Now, if my son said that, I would want to smack him, you know. But I'd like, well, that's kind of true, right? And so I just think that one of the hard thing
that
about
sounds like a very Michael thing to say.
It would be, Michael at four would not have said that. Michael at 12 would absolutely say that.
Yeah.
I just think it's important that, for one, for we to why we pray is because we're in relationship. You know, Daniel didn't pray every day, three times a day in his room with the windows open, out of some obligation. He did it because he loved the Lord and because he was his God. And, you know, and that's where we need to get. And I think when we get to that place where we're so compelled that we want to communicate and walk with the Lord in the cool of the morning like Adam did, I think at that point then we don't really, our motives is different, and I'm not worrying about impressing others, and I'm not worrying about using the correct words, because I'm just talking to Abba Father, if that makes sense.
Right.
I do think sometimes when people pray, they do lose that idea that God is not so much he's more of a father figure and not a overlording presence, I guess you could say. It's more so about the relationship and about talking as if it's just another person, and more than just talking like he is a king.
Yeah.
Which is something I've had to work on a lot. I remember when I first started getting back into Christianity after leaving the church for a long time, I would approach God more so as the king instead of the father. And so I would talk very formally, but now I've moved to where I just talk like it's just another person or a person I'm having a conversation with. But that was a lot of progress and change. And I'm still working on it because I still find myself falling back into what I used to do.
Mm-hmm. See, I find I can never stay balanced in that regard, because I go to one of two extremes. Like you were saying, I go to talking to him like a king that I don't deserve to talk to, so I'm super reverential to him and distant from him. And then I go too far to the other extreme, where I'm almost too comfortable and I talk to him like I would when I was a heathen with friends in non-church appropriate scenarios. And I have to remember, he wants me to be truthful, he wants me to be honest, he wants me to be full of integrity, but he also wants me to have a reverential spirit when I talk to him. And so I have to stay balanced in between those two.
I think it also depends on how much you trust God in general, which is something that I think some of us all struggle with at some point, at varying degrees. I think we talked about that some when we did on Not a Fan.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that
let him take over the whole situation and not just handle it yourself,
which involves a lot of prayer.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's also kind of like, you know, if God's our father, you know, if you're talking to your dad about something, you know, you still say yes sir when he tells you to do something,
right?
But at the same time, if something happens that day, you're like, hey, like, you know, I gotta spill the beans, you know. So like, there's definitely a balance there. You know what I mean? It's like, you want to be reverent, but at the same time, you know, have that personal relationship, but also know that he is above you. You know,
he's above everything.
If my son doesn't say yes, sir to me, I go, excuse me, what was that? When he goes, yeah.
Right.
But at the same time, if he falls and he skins his knee, I've picked him up before he's realize that he's bleeding.
Sometimes we got to realize that he's not just the king, but the father, our father, my father.
We have to
remember. And sometimes we have to remember that he's not just my father, he's also the king.
He's also the ruler of the universe and everything
can,
in it.
Destroy everything in a like that. So good relationship. yeah, I know Clint. You kind of paraphrased it earlier, but I want to really Bible app. but I want to go ahead and read it.
If you'd bring a real Bible.
Woo! Wow!
I will. Where's Brandon Massey when you need him?
I'll go get it.
Wait. There's 1, 2, 3 real Bibles in the room. But I'm pretty sure they're not yours, Clint. Ooh, so maybe before you say that statement, you about to be one of the people at the table that has a real Bible.
See what happened was.
What happened is you got burnt.
Yeah. True that.
Anyways, the first time you read, you paraphrased it earlier, but Matthew 6:5-8. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think you will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. That pretty much hits all the points that we've been talking about. Is, you know, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a long poem, and it doesn't have to be in front of people to impress, but in the secret of your own room to the Father. To the Father who is unseen.
It kind of reaffirms the whole idea of the prayer being a personal.
Right, exactly.
It's more personal than... verse 8 actually sticks out to me most, where it talks about how he knows what your issues are before you even go to him.
Exactly.
It's like he wants you to realize that these are things that need to be solved. And he knows it's an issue, but he wants you to know that it's an issue. So you want the change to happen.
Right. He wants you to want the change.
Speaking of an issue, I need to bring an issue to the table. Maybe to transition away from the...
Don't look at it.
I saw a monster. Casey, look, those in glass houses don't throw stones.
It says zero calories, zero sugar.
So, but we
and 3,000 milligrams of caffeine.
That's different.
And we need to talk about the picture that we found online of the guy's kidneys.
That was Mountain Dew.
No, it was not Mountain Dew. It was Monster.
That had to be Mountain Dew. I remember it.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm just going to throw this one in there. Does that count as a 12-pack of Mountain Dew?
Really the man.
I mean, for every monster, you're really the man.
No.
Is it 26
is
donuts?
Is that 4 Mountain Dews?
It's an inside joke, so no needing to explain it. But... How do you measure the 12-pack? Do you measure it in sugar? Do you measure it in caffeine? How do you measure that 12-pack of Mountain Dew?
I didn't say it was a whole 12-pack.
Yes, you did.
Oh, did I?
No.
I think so. No?
He just said four.
I said four.
Oh.
Yeah. I said it was a whole 12-pack.
Yeah. I don't know about the caloric. I'm just saying that just seems worse for you than a... Then I do.
Random fact for the day.
All right.
Did you know that the calories on the nutrition label is not actually calories?
Yes, I knew that.
It is actually kilocalories.
Mm-hmm.
So
little c calories.
Yeah, it's for every 100 calories that it says on the nutrition label, that's actually 100,000 calories. They just didn't want to put kilocalories, so they just put CAL.
Wow.
Because, yeah, but that's...
We're all going to die.
Yeah.
So what?
I haven't made a lot of some great health choices in my life.
What was
but
that?
But I have been proud of
range me. Difference that you mentioned.
Calories. So what? When you see calories on a nutrition label, yes. It's actually 1,000 calories, not just.
This is. They tricked me. It says
they did trick you.
Servings per container, 2. There's 2 servings of this.
There is.
What? So.
Yep.
Read your nutrition label, people.
That I've been doing that a lot more.
Hashtag truth in advertising.
I can't find the caffeine, but I don't know how to.
So back to transition.
Huh. 70
Anyway, there's your there's another bunny trail for this episode.
Pray that Casey quits Monster.
So next week.
Yeah. Next week.
Next week. Oh, what did I do?
Same bat time. Oh. Same bat channel.
So next week we're going to talk faithfulness.
Absolutely.
And we will talk faithfulness, and we will have a game.
Yes, because we weren't prepared this episode.
We will have a game.
I'm very excited
for this. And let's just talk. I have a great idea though from the show.
Oh, I love
that. And we could talk about it on the air, because maybe that'll make us do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that really works. Okay,
and this would be a great idea. You're gonna love it. In a few weeks,
just like when we had
people and songs are gonna be here on a Wednesday night.
No, they aren't.
Yeah. One Wednesday night for Conclave View, we'll be going in the sanctuary. It's like the
That's in February, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
is. But February. That's just like a few weeks away.
Second or third,
that's
right?
The same.
The
night.
Fifth.
I'm gonna
fifth.
Join y'all.
Really?
I just remembered. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that night, I think we should try to either get Caleb with a K or in person, or surely we can talk one of them into coming on to Conclave Radio that evening.
Even if we had to do
don't you think it's a great idea?
I think it's a fantastic idea.
What if we could get them to sing and play like an exclusive?
Now, since it's on the air and we have people listening, hopefully it can reach people in songs and they can prepare for this.
I'm sure they listen every week.
You're right. That means we have to listen.
We did get shared on. That's right.
What was I going to say? We have a lot to live up to now.
Yep, I think so.
Whew.
Take us home, Casey.
Got heavy. Okay. Well, if you love this podcast, you can hit that like button, as some people say, or you can just subscribe and keep listening. And check out our other episodes if you haven't been listening and you're new to the show. We are on Anchor.
Apple Podcasts.
We're on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
Stitcher.
No, do not say Spotify. My Spotify is still not updated.
I'm still fixing
entire
Spotify.
Season.
I have no idea what's going on with it. I'm about to email them an angry email saying, hey, Conclave Radio is a big hit and you're losing money.
Neither are true, but it's fine.
Right. Other than Spotify, we're pretty much everywhere else you listen to podcasts. And that is a fact.
That is a fact.
Literally,
fact.
You can listen to Conclave Radio, Greg. You probably choose not to because you're stubborn.
I am.
And only listen to Spotify.
This is true.
But there's no excuse for you not listen to Conclave Radio. And other than that, we are all over social media.
All over social media.
Conclave
all over
and Conclave Radio is.
Yep.
We are on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Conclave Radio, which I haven't even used yet, has a Twitter page.
Whoop, whoop.
Are we Radio Conclave?
We are Radio Conclave.
And we are on Instagram is Conclave_radio. And we're going to start using those a lot more. In parentheses.
That's been said on the radio before, too.
In parentheses.
Many times.
Parentheses, yeah. I hope. Parentheses. That will be our 2020 New Year's resolution. As you can see, we're already... Is that through Conclave or Conclave Radio?
This is Conclave Radio.
We're already using our Twitter. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That's a little
bit cool. Wait. Let's see. Hang on.
Don't
maybe not.
Me, please.
We can probably transfer it.
No, but this is the Conclave.
Well,
we can
share it through Conclave.
Yeah,
but
we'll
if you don't
retweet.
Feel like going on social media or on your favorite podcast, you can.
Come join us every Sunday night at 6 o'clock at Metropolitan Church of God. You can come for the delicious food and join in as we talk about the PFR 2020 series led by your own Clint Johnson. That is every Sunday at 6 o'clock. If not, that's okay. We're starting a new series on the book of 1 Peter and Conclave View. That's Wednesday nights at 6:30 at Metropolitan Church of God. Same thing.
And Greg is teaching it next week.
And this is new. If you don't have a Sunday school that you can go to before service,
This is new.
Conclave now has a Sunday. I think they just call it Conclave AM.
We named it. I named
Conclave
it Conclave AM.
Sunday mornings at 9?
10.
9.
Oh, sorry, 9.
Yeah, 9. Followed by a wonderful service led by Pastor Jason.
Yay, Pastor Jason.
Metropolitan Church of God.
Preaching the fire.
That's right. Hey, that was good. I haven't had a. I haven't done it well in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a good episode.
I'm going to have to cut that out.
Yeah.
No, this is gold. Okay. And you know what? I think that's a pretty good start to the 2020 year of...
Conclave Radio!